are thankful to be in his presence today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just welcome in his presence. Clap your hands. Lift your hands. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. It's all about
what you feel in this place this morning, give the Lord a big hand clap. Hallelujah. We could have our ushers come down at this time. Hallelujah. Just a few announcements this morning. We'll be having service tonight at 7 o'clock. You can come dressed casual. Please bring a game, bring a dish to pass, something small, dessert, appetizer. We'll also be having a business meeting at that time. So that is 7 o'clock tonight, and you'll want to be here for that. Also, we'll need a couple of strong guys to lift a few tables after service in the back. So you strong dudes, stay around to lift some tables. Ladies' prayer will be next Monday on the 8th due to the holiday. That's also on the calendar. And men's prayer will be this Thursday at 7 p.m. So all you men, be here at 7 p.m. this Thursday. And to all you teens and youth that are going to midwinter youth retreat, that is coming up rather quick, February 2nd and 3rd. It will be here before you know it because time goes really quick. So if you have a teen that is going, we ask that you get online and get them registered. It is $55 for the youth, and they have till the 21st of January to get registered, but after that, it does go up considerably, and then if you pay at the door, it's almost double, so we ask that you pay, try to register them by the 21st of the month, so you've got a few weeks to get that done, and then we're asking just $20 per youth student to help with the hotel cost, and you can go on ohiodistrictyouth.com. And if you have any questions, you can see any one of the youth team members. So at this time, we're going to pray over our offering. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are and what you're going to do in this place today. We come with expectation, God, that you will do something mighty, Lord God, that this is the last Sunday of the year, Lord, that we are going to go into something new this coming year, but today is the day that you have made. We are glad and we will rejoice in this. We just ask that you just bless the gift and the giver today. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're a visitor today, we welcome you. Get out of your pew. Greet someone today. In Jesus' name, and you can come again.
blessing will follow. Keep praying. Keep praying.
Thank you.
turn around and give a high five to somebody. Tell them you're glad to see them. If you're not glad, at least act like it. But we're glad you're here today. Praise God. Praise God. Again, one more time, I want to... What a strong presence of God is in this place. How many feel the power and presence of God? Amen. You may be seated. Again, it is so good to have each and every one of you here today worshiping the Lord. And thank you for... I just need this one. And just so glad to have... each and every one. You could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here today. We've got some still traveling and enjoying the holiday season, which we expect, and we just pray for their safe return. But we're glad you're here. Just turn around and smile at somebody with all the teeth you own and tell them, you look good today. Praise God. Praise God. What a wonderful time we had last weekend. Lord moved in a great way, and Yvette, who's here today, was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We got a certificate we have for her, and so would you come on, let's just thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just worship the Lord. So awesome. It's awesome. Keep going. Amen, amen. We're thankful for that. What a wonderful, wonderful move of God had happened last weekend, and God's not done. God is not done. Amen. Out with the old and in with the new. Out with the old and in with the new. Here we are. It just felt like we were saying hello to 2023, and now today, closing a door, turning the proverbial page on yet another year, and yet there before us is a wide open door. Allow me to repeat the words of our Lord, and the Apostle Paul was speaking about his missionary journey, and he went on to say, the Lord said this and confirmed it with the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, "For a great door and effectual one is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." One translation reads like this, "For a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." He mentioned the fact that a great and powerful opportunity had opened up in front of them, but upon opening that door, he was immediately met with the adversity and a force pushing against him and his team. It seemed like every turn he took, there was an issue. Every time he took a step forward, it seemed like two steps back. Every time he attempted to move, he was met with opposition. Anybody know what I'm talking about here today? How many felt like that in 2023? It's been a good year, great year, but then there's those moments where it's two steps forward and four steps back. Or, you know, every time something good was happening, it was close on the heels was something crazy happening. Now we know what we're talking about. Come on, somebody say amen. But you see, the Apostle Paul, he understood that the presence of opposition against him did not compare to the one who was behind him. Amen. The Apostle Paul understood that the pressure that was set before him in no way compared to the power and the anointing behind him. I want to tell us today that what you might feel in front of you, it might be, you know, we're looking into 2024 and crazy looks like it's already starting to happen. Hear me clearly today. What's before you is in no comparison to the God that is behind you. I want to tell you today that if God is for us, who can be against us? You see, again, Paul understood that if the pressure pressing against him was that great, it was simply because behind the push against him was something that was being guarded and protected. He said, there's many, many adversaries. There was an aggression of sorts that greeted him when he had a made-up mind to move forward. How many felt like that, that when you had a made-up mind, it was always greeted with aggression? Is it just me? No, we're all living in the same world. I know we got different issues going on. Look at somebody and say, you got issues. Felt good, didn't it? Felt real good. You've been wanting to say that all week. After spending Christmas eating with that person across the table, you're like, I got my time now. You're the issue. You got issues. I mean, many. Some are in the doghouse now. Many adversaries. You wake up thinking it's going to be a good day. It's a day of opportunity. And then an adversary greets you with a good morning. You wake up one moment saying, today is different. It's a door of opportunity. And an adversary greets you first thing in the morning. And we probably, most of us, have started this year of 2023 saying, and possibly even this morning saying, from now on, from this moment, will be the year. And yet again, an adversary hits you right from the gate. I mean, the moment you start trying to do right, the moment you fire up your car, the moment you got your foot out of the bed, it was crazy, had come greeting you. I mean, it's one thing after another. But I want to declare to each and every one of you right now, the words of Jesus in Revelation as a scripture of declaration, and we've got to receive it in faith. Are you ready to receive it today? Revelation chapter 3 and 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. That if God has given you an opportunity, it's time to walk in and let God be God and his enemies be scared. Come on, would you clap your hands and say it's an effectual, it's a powerful door. Amen. The Lord has spoken. I feel like God is already in this place. And I just want to encourage you that, yes, it is 2023. It is the 31st day of this very month and last day of the year. But I just feel like encouraging you that it's out with the old and in with the new. Why don't you just say that? Out with the old, in with the new. See, the opposition before you cannot compare to the power and the anointing from God that is behind you. There is an open door and no man, no thing can shut it. Matter of fact, I feel like it would do us all well to consider this Old Testament principle, which goes along these lines. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 46 and verse 9. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by way of the south gate. And he that entereth by the way of the south gate shall go out forth by way of the north gate. And he shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but shall go forth over and against it. I'm going to take out the thees, thous, and thou shalts, and I'm going to break it down for us. Are you ready for it? One translation reads like this. But when the people of the land come to worship God at the commanded feast, those who enter through the north gate will exit from the south gate, and those who enter through the south gate will enter or exit from the north gate. You don't exit the gate from through which you enter, but through the opposite gate, the prince is to be there mingling with them, going in and out with them. Here it is. You don't exit the gate through which you enter, but through the opposite gate. In other words, you walk in one way and you leave a different way. You walk in one and you keep going. Hear me clearly today. You walked into the house of God one way, but you're going to walk out totally different. different. You may have walked in with depression, oppression, and everything's against you, but you're going to walk out different. You're going to walk out whole. You're going to walk out right. It's out with the old and in with the new. Clap your hands and say hallelujah. Are there any survivors in the house today? Yeah, help me out here. I know you're tired. I know you slept in a little bit. But are there any survivors in the house today? Somebody say amen. Amen. I mean, you got beat up a little bit, but you survived. You got misunderstood. But guess what? You survived. You fought some radical emotions, yet guess what? You survived. Sober living was challenged, but yet you survived. Has anybody has been sober in here for more than 6 months or 6 months or more? Would you stand up? We want to congratulate you for that. This is awesome. This is awesome. You're survivors. Materially and financially, you fought your way to keep your head above the water. Guess what, though? You survived. And the survivors, all the survivors, clap your hands and say hallelujah. But as we close out 2023 and we look forward and towards a new year, a new you, I feel challenged to remind each of us that there is an evil one who is attempting to hijack your walk with God. The one has been identified as many things: the serpent, the dragon, the man of sin, the son of perdition, a vile person, the lawless one, the beast, the antichrist. The agenda of this one, who goes by many names in Scripture, has just one mission: to deceive the very elect of God and to destroy the people of God. He appears as a person of peace, love, and tranquility, but make no mistake, he is a man of war. For Scripture clearly states in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High." Or it literally means to afflict mentally. The mind will be under attack. The body will be pursued like a lion after a gazelle. Hear me clearly today. The policies of this particular coming leader are neither conservative or liberal. He has no allegiance to any country, leader, or system. His loyalties lie to only the devil and the one to whom empowers him. The man, wherever he comes from, the man, wherever he shows up, is literally anti-Christ. Everybody say anti-Christ. He, not only is he anti-Christ, but his desires are to be worshipped instead of Jesus Christ, called the Christ. He's everything opposite of or that which opposes Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus is and Jesus does, this Antichrist is everything opposing and opposite of him. This Antichrist, though, hear me, will speak with so much flair to where the masses will believe they found a benevolent and kind Savior, but nothing, no thing could be further from the truth. He's not at all as to what he seems. His swelling words of grandeur do not at all reflect his true intentions. All of his speeches house a demonic and satanic agenda. The Bible says it, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High." And I understand that Daniel is speaking prophetically about an antichrist to come, but we must not forget that there is a spirit of antichrist that has been belched forth out of the pits of hell and is already at work today. Already. There is a spirit of antichrist already at work today. For the Bible reads in 1 John chapter 2 and 18, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come." Even now there are many antichrists, whereby we know that this is the last time. One translation says it like this: children, time is just about up. You heard that the antichrist is coming. Well, they're all over the place. Antichrist everywhere. You look, that's how we know that we're close to the end. Folks, we know the end is coming because there are many spirits out there that are antichrist. They don't want you walking with Jesus Christ. They are anti-everything that is holy, anti-everything that is righteous, and it comes from the pits of hell. I tell you, out with the old, in with the new. It is. Everything against our Lord, everything against our Lord's will and against His purpose for our lives. There is spirits out there today. There are agendas out there even right now, and their only attempt is to sabotage the work and the will of God in your life and in my life. I don't know about you, but I need God in these last days. I don't know. I need the Lord in these last days. And that's spirit of lawlessness is causing God's people to be mentally drained, emotionally derailed, and physically exhausted. You watch the news too long, you're going to walk out feeling depressed, aren't you? Come on, be honest. We've got the news. We can go to anywhere in the world by the flip of our finger, and it's on this thing called cell phones. I have an iPhone, and some people said, you know what, that's evil because iPhones, look at the bite in the apple, and the apple is what Eve ate from, and, you know, it's an evil thing. And I'm like, holy cow, you've lost your ever-loving mind. If you felt like that was of the devil, and if you have that belief, that's up to you. I mean, I still think you lost your mind a little bit. But anyway, you know. And then there's those who attempt to try to convince me that the Android is the only way. And I'm like, I don't really care. You know? But what I have found is that it doesn't matter what device I have around me. It can connect me to anything and anyone. And that spirit of law, and I'm not preaching against cell phones. I'm not preaching. I don't have time for that kind of nonsense. That's ridiculous talk there. Somebody say amen. I mean, but I am saying that anything, if we got to be careful what we let into our lives and dictate what is going on in our personal worlds. If I sat around and read everything and watched everything that came across that phone, I'd be an emotional basket case. You would too. You wouldn't know. One moment we're going to war with Iran. The next moment it's like, oh, made a mistake. That was just someone's opinion about it. It's like, oh my word, where are we? Am I left or right? Am I up or am I down? I mean, it's just crazy. But there is a spirit of lawlessness that is causing God's people to be mentally drained, emotionally derailed, and physically exhausted. And the attitude of lawlessness or the spirits of Antichrist is just that, lawless. It's without boundaries, without respect for authorities, both spiritual and natural. It's what is shaping the so-called law of the land. Somebody say amen. You can't, this attitude that says you can't tell me what to do. You can be, do, say, act out, live out any way or anything you want to be and do. You can change your image or at the very least how you're perceived. Hear me today. This is happening today. Somebody say amen. Let me take a preacher pause here real quick and say, if you and I base our opinions or lives on the reactions we generate from social media, we're in trouble. Maybe this is not working right. Testing, 1, 2, 3. I mean, if we're basing, I was just kidding, Brother Eli, you didn't need to turn me up that much. Thank you, though. Man, that's a good sound guy whenever he's like, just turn him up then. But if you and I base our opinion of or lives around the reactions we can generate from social media, we're in trouble. The idea of having a perfect house, perfect skin, perfect life, looking a certain way, projecting their influence onto others. Hear me. Those are filters. Those are airbrushed photos. Those are rented homes for the day, rented cars for the day. That money that they act like is flowing, it will stop. Somebody say amen. And you know why? Hear me. You know why the world's system is attempting to hijack the presentation of who you are and who you were born to look like and who you are to be in Christ? It's ultimately attack against the Word of God. I'm just feeling a little maybe opposition, but I'm okay with that. Some of you don't really believe that it's really an attack against the Word of God, but here it goes. I got Bible for it. Are you ready? The reason why, the reason why there's such an attack against how people are perceived or how you look. How many wants to look good? Be honest, you want to look good. You didn't come out dressed in a trash bag, did you? Smelling like yesterday's dinner? No way. At least I hope not. I mean, you brushed your teeth. So here's why. Because of this. This is the reason why. An agenda of the Antichrist, it's a spirit of Antichrist, is attempting to hijack you, who you are and why you want to stand for things. Psalms 139:14. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. Here's another one, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female he them. You were created in God's image. And the reason why that's being attacked is ultimately you represent Jesus Christ. I'm going to say it again. The reason why the devil's after your image is because you've been made in the image of God Almighty. And because this, every time the enemy of your soul sees you still standing, still worshiping, still praying, it reminds him who your daddy is. I tell us today, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be the... You know why? Hear me. You know why the attack on our images and why people want to change the way they look so much? You want to know why? It's because everything is a spirit of Antichrist. And I'm not trying to over-spiritualize things. I don't find devils in speakers and couches and tires. I mean, I'm a realist. I understand, you know, there's some things that are real. People get sick. Why are you sick? Well, I went and, you know, ate bad beans. That's my problem, not yours. You know? But I do understand, so I'm not always looking for a devil around every corner, but I do understand that there is a scripture that talks about the image of God and that you and I were created in his image. And the reason why there is a spirit of lawlessness without boundaries, wanting to do things our own way, is because it is wanting you and I to project something that we are not. Tight? It's okay. It's all right. I got broad shoulders. I can deal with... I used to go to libraries, so I'm okay with right now. But hear me today. The reason why it fights it so much is because you represent your Heavenly Father. And every time you keep getting up, every time you keep going, every time you dust yourself off, the devil's over there saying, oh no, here they go again. They're going to the house of God. Here they go again. They're standing up, looking like who they were, look, acting like who they were. Come on, somebody. You were made in the image of God. 1 John 4 says that, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and it is a spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in this world. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because great greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I know who my daddy is. I know who my Heavenly Father is. And because of that, I need to stand up and know before God that he's on my side. And we can overcome the spirit and the agenda of an Antichrist attitude today when we get into the power and presence of God. Would you one more time clap your hands and shout hallelujah? Everybody say it, out with the old. in with the new. Shout it out each other or across the aisles. Out with the old, in with the new. Someone tell us how to shut the door on 2023 and be a more than a conqueror in 2024. Are you ready? I want to be out with the old and in with the new. I mean, I believe it's what God wants for all of us. It's out with the old and in with the new. My kids, they've been taking pictures of me here of late. One of them was me sleeping, and they said sunbathing, and I just look like a blob in front of the sun. And then another picture was, they love taking pictures of my head. You know, they'll zoom in and just take a picture. I'm like, I love you guys too, but you're made in my image too. You think this looks bad? I mean, the other day they were showing me pictures, Aiden and Chloe mainly. God love my offspring. I love you guys. But I didn't like you at that moment, okay? They've been taking pictures, Brother Williams, of my hair loss. He says that because he's a tall cup of cappuccino, right? Or mocha. Mocha. Why do I keep messing this up? I mean, he could do it. He's tall. Nobody's going to mess with him. But short, chubby guys, they're like, oh, my goodness, look at that guy. And I started noticing things. And so I'm like, out with the old, in with the new. Maybe I need to try something. Maybe if you come in here and I got a big old wig on my head, you'll be like, out with the old, in with the new. It's just, you know. But I'm going to tell us, though, spiritually, there are things that you and I can do that will help us to continue walking where God wants us to walk to. Everybody say it again, out with the old and in with the new. Here it is, number one. And I've talked about this before, but I feel compelled to lead us again. Brother Andy, can you hit us with, it's get the room right. Get you right. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 5 reads this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Jesus even quoted this in the book of Mark chapter 12, telling them it was the first commandments. The first thing he told them to do was, "Hear, O Israel, is get the room right. Remove the distractions." This is a unique word. This is a unique word, hear. Because this is where you and I get our English word acoustics. It's aku in Hebrew or in Greek. And again, I understand that I've mentioned this before, but I feel compelled to talk about it again. I've been in places and in rooms where the acoustics are terrible. Everything just kind of runs together with no distinction, and everything just becomes noise and distraction. So right from the get-go, the Lord is telling us, he's establishing this mandate, listen up, eliminate the distractions. In order for everything to work right, it starts with getting the room right. Hear me clearly today. You have to determine the distinctions and the distractions. You and I have to fine-tune me, myself, and I to properly get something from God. You want to close the door on yesterday and look to a good future? Get the acoustics right. Get what you're focused on right. Is this okay? Somebody say amen. Hear, O Israel, he said. That's not just merely a command, but it's a verb. It's to comprehend, to attend, to give audience to yield obedience to the voice of. Get everything into focus. and yield yourself to the obedience of the one who is talking. And the Lord, it's a command. Hear, O Israel, listen up. Remove the distractions. Get rid of things that doesn't matter. Amen. I mean, bad acoustics, though. They're bad. How many's been in rooms where there's bad acoustics? Everything's echoing. It sounds like everything sounds like you're in a trash can. You can't distinct anything. You're just hearing noise, and it's just bouncing. I mean, it's kind of like you're in a tube with 10 kindergartners, the lunch lady, you know, the bus driver who's yelling, you know, holding up her hand. I remember my bus driver always saying, raising her two fingers up, that meant to be quiet. I thought it meant peace, but she raised her hands up and she kept like this. And then she'd always yell at us, be quiet until we're on 795. Everybody be quiet until we're on 795. And she just constantly is just like, oh my God, get over yourself. You know, you were caged animals, but you get kids inside a tube. You enter kindergarten. You got the lunch lady that's getting food thrown at her. You got the bus driver screaming out, quiet till it's 7. I mean, that's bad acoustics right there. Everything just doesn't make sense. Somebody say amen. Chaos would be putting it lightly. But if you could turn the noise down, dial everything into proportion, get rid of the bad and get the right dialed in. Get rid of the noise and get rid of the confusion. You'll get what you came for. Hear me today. You'll inherit and receive all that God has for you. If you want to go out with the old and in with the new, this is what you got to do. Get the room right. Remove the distractions. Well, I don't know why I've been fighting this. It's because you've allowed it to come into your life. Quit blaming the devil for everything. The devil may not have had anything to do with why you're tired. It might be because you stayed up so late video gaming. Come on, somebody. I don't know why I can't worship the Lord and I just waddle. Well, it's because me. I like Thanksgiving and Christmas. My wife was sick on Christmas Day. And I was telling Brother and Sister Lehman back there, I was like, oh, they said, how was your Christmas? I said, it was interesting. Really? And we got to back and forth talking. And I said, well, I got my dad and my stepmother came in town. And I was going to grill for them. But when my wife got sick, they stayed away. And so now I had all this food to eat. And I didn't know what to do with it. I grilled and I felt very accomplished. But you know what I did not do? I did not clean up my mess. I did not load the dishwasher. Look at some of you shaking, looking down on my. Who likes doing dishes? I don't like doing dishes, my Lord. Some like doing dishes. When I lived in Central America, the way I cleaned my house was I lifted everything up and put it into my garage, furniture all, bed, everything just got scooted out to the garage. I poured soap everywhere, and I stood like a fireman with my hose just everywhere. That's how I cleaned house in Central America. I've done a little better now. But there's reasons why. We can't blame everything on the devil. Sometimes they're just distractions that we've invested into. We have given ourselves to. This is meddling, ain't it? I like it. If you don't like it, it's okay. I got the microphone. But get the room right. Get the room right. Turn down the chaos. They said, Lord, what was the greatest commandment? He said, it starts with here. It starts with removing the distractions. And if we can get the room right, then we can properly adhere to, yield in obedience to, and give audience to consider. Everybody say, I will hear. Here's what we're supposed to do with that one Lord. We are to love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. And heart, soul, and mind appear very similar in meaning. A soul is the psyche. It's the person's distinct identity. It's an individual personality. This is the part that will live on. We need our soul to be filled with the breath of God. We need to be born again. Come on, somebody. We need to be born again of water and of the Spirit. And when our heart and soul get right and are made right through His Spirit, it affects every other part of who we are. And when we get the room right, our intentions change. We don't go to places we once went to. We don't associate ourselves with things we once associated ourselves with. Our likes and dislikes would change. And I could spend all afternoon giving us different steps and pointers, but this is basic. Get the room right. Remove the distractions. That's where it begins. Out with the old, in with the new. Here's number two. Once you get walking with Jesus, stay focused. Stay focused. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 32. There was a storm that arose while the disciples were pushed off from the coast by Jesus Himself. Verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I'm thankful there's no place too far, a crisis too big, that God can't come to where you are. Aren't you thankful today for that? Verse 26, and when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come onto the water. And Jesus said, come. Verse 29, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. There He is. He is the God manifested in the flesh, Jesus called the Christ. He's walking to them and then standing before them with no invitation to come inside their little boat, their world. So how do you make the one who calms the seas to stand and wait? How do we do that? I've probably done that a time or two. I've let God stand outside when He really needed to be inside. We all have. But here it is. The narrative by Matthew shows us that life presents storms, and often we fail to invite Him into the matter. And I preached from the point of view of Peter had gotten anxious and sank. I talked about the idea that Peter had gotten his eyes off of Jesus, and that's when he sank. And even the context of the reason why Peter sank was because he let what was around him to distract him. But look at it from this perspective now. Jesus never once asked Peter or any of the other disciples to step out and join Him into the unknowns and the miraculous. But rather, it was Peter who opened his mouth and said, verse 27, but straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it's really You, invite me to walk on water with You. It was Peter's prayer request that was answered. Peter asked, and Jesus granted it. Peter prayed, and Jesus answered his prayer. And never once do we see Jesus asking if there were any takers to jump into the stormy waters. Never once do we see Jesus saying, hey, Luke, you want to come? Thomas, I know you doubt a little bit, but Thomas, would you like to come and take a step out here? And not one of them. Jesus didn't ask any one of them. Yet it was Peter who said, Lord, if it's You, let me walk. Peter asked, and God answered his prayer. It was Peter's decision and desire to walk into places where others could not or would not go. How many's ever asked God to do things for you and He came through? Come on, somebody, say amen. We've asked God to do great things for us that others would be like, there's no possible way. And then it happens. Everybody say it was Peter's prayer request. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to thee on the waters. Now everybody say, Peter's request granted. Verse 29, and Jesus said, come. And then we see this happen. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. So I propose to you and I today that once Peter got what he wanted from the Lord, that once Peter's prayer request was granted, that's when he took his eyes off of Jesus. There is always a danger in taking your eyes off of Jesus, but you want to slap Jesus in the face? Ask him something for something, he gives it to you, and you walk away from it. You back off on your commitments and faithfulness. You get what you want, and then all of a sudden, you no longer need Jesus. That's Peter. The moment the Lord granted his request, Peter felt, I can do this on my own. I'm going to tell us today, we can't make it without Jesus. Amen. You can't. I can't. We cannot make it without Jesus. So stay focused. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I warn all of us today, and let's all stand, and a sure way to sink is to renege on the commitments and what it takes to stay saved and safe. Peter prayed. The Lord granted him his prayer request. And the moment he got it, he acted as if, now I can do this on my own. I don't need the help of Jesus. Telling us, out with the old and in with the new. You want to know how you can make it in 2024? Stay focused. That when God gives you something, you keep your eyes on Jesus no matter what. No matter what. Whether he answers your prayer or not, keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay focused. Get the room right. Remove the distractions. That's how you're out with the old and in with the new. Make sure that you are hearing what Jesus wants us to hear. Make sure that we are staying focused even after we might feel like we're blessed. We need Jesus every single day. Every day. Every single day. We need Jesus. The prayer request was granted, and it was then he sang. Just because God gives you something does not mean you no longer need him. We need him every day. Out with the old, in with the new. So look at the person next to you right now and just say, are you tired of the old and want something new? Go ahead, ask them that. You tired of the old? Want something new? Do right now, maybe, if it's appropriate, grab the hand of that person that you just said that with, if it's appropriate, and maybe step out from where you are if you're able to, or where you're standing. But if you want to be out with the old and in with the new, it starts with getting the room right. It starts with removing the distractions in our lives, because we all have them. And most of them are man-made. I make enough distractions all by my little lonesome self. I don't necessarily need anybody's help to make a distraction. I can do that all by myself. But what if we want to serve the Lord correctly, like the scripture states and like Jesus mandated? It means get the room right. It starts with getting myself right. And that next thing that we found in scripture, that if we want to go out with the old and in with the new, if we want to start this year right, get the room right, remove the distractions, and once you're walking with Jesus, once he grants you what you've been praying for, you stay focused on that. You stay focused on the one who gave it. Right now, would you lift a hand to heaven? And would you begin to pray, Lord, I need your help to stay focused. There's many things that can distract us from you, Lord, but I need to stay focused. Come on, lift your own, in your own words, in your own way, Lord. Whatever the distractions are, just get it right. Get the acoustics right, and then you'll hear better from the Lord. You'll be able to obey what he says when you remove the things that don't belong. When you remove the things that don't belong and add the things that make it right, that's when he can begin to talk. Lord Jesus, here I am today, and I need to make the room right.
I'm sorry.
I've let a lot of distractions, God, get in the way, and it's messing up the way you want to talk, messing up the flow of your spirit, messing up the flow of your power. So, God, I want it removed out of my life. I need to make sure I'm right and centered around you, Jesus. That, Lord, no matter what, I need to stay focused. I need to stay focused, Lord. No matter what, I need to stay focused. Come on, let's begin to worship the Lord right now from your own words, on your own way. It's out with the old and in with the new. The Lord is going to make it right today. God, I want out with the old and in with the new. There's things, God, I need. There's places I want to spiritually grow and go into, God.
I just want to sit.
But I got to remove the distractions.
On your feet.
Caught up in this holy moment.
I never want to leave.
Come on, let's just talk to God in our own way.
Focus. Yeah.
Holy Spirit. Walk in the ways of God. Oh God, help me to stay focused. Help me, God, to remove all distractions. Lord, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I remember back in 1988 when a person wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. You remember that? I mean, people were, it didn't matter from what walk of life, what religion someone belonged to. I mean, they, churches were filling up. One church that I know of and heard of that talked like 800 people. The church grew by 800 people because of that one book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord is Coming Back in 1988. I remember it was a Tuesday night. It was a youth service. And man, I tell you what, I was looking back at that clock because I wanted to make sure that if Jesus was coming back, I wasn't missing his coming. So I was rubbernecking on that clock. And guess what? We survived it. We've survived Y2K, haven't we? Anybody remember that big old talk about Y2K? The computers are crashing, the banks are. We survived it. We're just a few years removed from a global pandemic. Some are still feeling the pains and the effects of something of a virus that changed our world. Today, the world is in an uproar. Bank accounts are being depleted. Threats of global terror are consistently around us. But we're still here. And the way you're going to stay walking with Jesus is you got to get the room right. You got to remove the distractions. It's necessary. If you're going to walk into 2024 with new commitments, and I'm not talking about those commitments that I'm going to give up cookies. I lie every year when I say that stuff. My wife said, well, you want to give up this year? Nothing. If I give it up, it's a good year then. I like cookies. I need to give them up, Brother Junior. I'm starting to look like the busted can of biscuits up here. Here I am. But I'm telling us, if we want to survive, remove the distractions. If it's keeping you from worshiping God, if it's keeping you from the house of God, something has taken the place of God. Whew, that was the best preaching right there. If it has, I'm going to say it again, if it takes you from the house of God, it's because it has become your God. Remove the distractions. And the next thing, we've got to stay focused. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, all across this room today, we are going to be walking into a new calendar year, God, soon. And God, we want to make sure that we're right. We're staying focused on you. And God, I pray that we can remove the distractions and make you the main attraction. I pray it right now. That God, today you will guard us and guide us. I plead your blood upon us, and we give you the honor, we give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Look at somebody, say, out with the old, in with the new. Today at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a worship time. We're going to go in and talk about some business of what God's been doing around here and where we need to go and grow to, and then there's going to be desserts, there's going to be food, there's going to be games. So we want to welcome you here. If you're you know, you have nothing to do. We want you to be here. And you're dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus. God bless you in Jesus' name.